Father, we just want to declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we want to thank you, Lord, that the King of Glory is here, Lord God. God, we want to declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jesus of Nazareth, we exalt you in this place, Lord. We praise you. We declare that this place, this town, belongs to you, Jesus. We declare that Somerset West, Strand, Gordon's Bay belongs to you, Lord. We declare that Nomzamo belongs to you, Jesus. God, we declare that every hill and 1,000 cattle thereon belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare that you are the Creator, God. We declare that you died on the cross for us, Lord. You have died and taken all the punishment on you, Lord. But you are not dead. You are alive. You have risen after 3 days, and 40 days later you ascended into heaven, and you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we honor you. We praise you. We welcome you, Lord God. We praise you. And we just want to say, Lord, you are the Lord. You are God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God, and we praise you, Lord God. We worship you. There's only one God, Lord, and it's you, Jesus. And I thank you, God, that we can be bold as lions, Lord, that we can be bold as lions. We don't have to be afraid of anything because the King of Kings is here, Lord. We praise you. Thank you, God, that you war on our behalf, Lord. But God, most of all, I want to thank you for the cross, Lord. I want to thank you for your love, Lord. I want to thank you for your goodness, Lord God. I want to thank you for your kindness, Lord. I want to thank you that you loved us first, Lord. And I want to thank you that you love every person who is here, Lord. That you have an intense desire for them to be free, Lord. And we praise you. And I thank you, God, it doesn't matter where we are, where we've been, what we've done, God. There's nothing in this world that can separate us from the love that you have for us. God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for being here tonight. I just want to say God is good. Amen. Amen. Not yet. Amen. Apparently the Springboks won. Very well, I didn't watch it, but I led many children to the Lord this morning. 4 to 6 year olds, that's amazing, the most amazing thing. I think it was about 12 of them that just responded to my altar call. Yes, thank you, Yaku. He was my wingman, and I don't know, maybe some of you all there watched the movie Kindergarten Cop, but I was a dude in front in these little ones. Donnie could buy me a respect for you now. It's difficult, 46, huh? It's not a loose suit with Andre, but it was amazing. It was amazing. My own boy was the first one to respond. I was like, yeah, here, donkey. He quoted Johannes 3, vers 16. Want so lief het God die wereld gehad, dat hy sy enigste seun gestuur het, sodat almal wat in hom glo, die ewige lewe sal hê en nie sal verlore gaan nie. Amen. Isn't that good news? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life and will not perish, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was trying to work out which translation I should use. I'm just joking. I forgot the words. Some time ago, who were here when Mercy Oakham was here? Evangelist Mercy? Most of you? Not all of you. But she preached and she came to us. And she was with us in Stellenbosch. That's strange. It looked like someone was standing behind me, but there wasn't. Maybe it's an angel. I believe it's an angel. She came and in Stellenbosch, she was speaking many things, and the way that she was speaking was more of a, guys, get yourself in order, get yourself right. So by the time she came here, I was expecting more of those. But then she said, it's a new season. God, I said, it's a new season. And she said to us, believe me, if God told me to rebuke you, I would have came to rebuke you. But God is saying, it's a new season. So, but then she said, when God called Abram, he called him to him, he said to Abram, you must come out of your land. You must go away from the land where you are, separate where you're from and then come to me, because I want to use you. Therefore, Abram had to leave where he was to go out so that God can use him, so that God can have relationship with him. And the same it is with us. And she said, for us, we must come out of the world that we are to the kingdom of God, because God wants to do something very special in our lives. And she said that God is about to bring a baby, a spiritual baby, in this church. And I could agree with it, because there's about 40 new babies being born in our church. We're just doing baby dedications every Sunday morning because of people having children at this stage. So when she said it, I knew this is so from the Lord. There's a baby that's supposed to be. But when you have a baby, your wife gets very nervous, and everything in your house doesn't look right to her anymore. So you've got to paint, and you've got to fix things, and you've got to buy things that you don't need. You're only going to use it for 2 months, Donnie, but you've got to get all these things because this baby is coming into your house. So you have to prepare. And she said to us, clean the house. Clean the house. God is cleaning the house because I am going to do something wonderful in your lives. She said, put your house in order. Break with the old or bad family friends that are drawing you into the world, because God wants us to be clean. He wants us to be holy. She said, we must address the past. She said, something is going to happen very soon. Please be ready. Break away from curses. She said, God wants us to be hot. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to be hot on fire for God. She said, it's a season of unusual happening, time of spiritual harvest, extraordinary faith. It's a season of warfare. It's a season of warfare. And then I'm relaxed. It's Bible school is finished. I'm sort of putting my feet up at home, and then I get a phone call, and it's Pastor Fred, and he says to me, it's a Monday night. No, Lev? Monday night, and he says to me, why are you training? I said, no, Fred, I'm getting dressed. At my age, it sounds like I'm training when I'm getting dressed. So he's laughing at me, I'm laughing. But he says, there's people at the office doing seances. I said, Fred, what? And he says, no, in Stellenbosch. He says, no, in Somerset West. How do you know this? But anyway, I go down, I just pray God send help. So I go and fetch Gerard, the biggest guy I know. So we are very comfortable, we're very confident going to the office. Gerard weighs 130 kilograms. I think even the demons are afraid of him because he's very big and he's very strong. So now we go. And we stop in front of the office, and there we hear it. It's like, oh my word, something, there's action. Here is something going on. So we get out, and I can hear it from in the street. And we go and park around the corner. We get out, and now we hear them saying things like, Spirit of fire, we call upon you, Spirit of Osiris, to destroy the Creator God, and they're speaking these things. And now I'm excited. Gerard is like looking at me with big eyes. Dude, you know, I can't fight these guys. I can't see them. What is happening here? So I'm like, God, the blood of Jesus, what is happening here? Anyway, the next day I go, and Fred asked me to go to Joy Magazine. That's also they are neighbors. I met this really interesting guy. We start talking. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I found out who these people are. They're in Kabbalah. It's a Eastern thing of witchcraft, basically. The oldest that you get. Goes all the way to the times of Babylon. They astral project on their website. They tell you how to astral project, and you can pay 3,000 rand and it will teach you to do these things and how to be rich and how to be all these things. The people that came out of that place are very rich, very rich. Got into 500-600 rands worth cars, beautiful people. I'm like, wow, Jesus wants to save them. So we are very excited. And I go back to this thing, and I'm reading, God says there's a season of warfare. I'm like, okay, what is happening here? Then at intercession at Wednesday, one of your friends, I don't want to expose her, she's not here tonight, but she says she's on fire for God. She's an amazing woman of God. She phones her best friend. She's also on fire for God. She says, in half an hour, she and a friend are not friends anymore. It's like, fine, okay, that's it. We're not friends anymore. Put the phone down. She's upset with her. And now she's saying to herself, but it's God's will. It's my season. It's not right anymore. God is taking me away because it was not good for me anymore. And all these things. You know, she's like really upset. So Sunday night, she feels condemned. And she's like, she asks her sister, can we just pray? And they pray together. And say, she says, God, forgive her. And forgive me for my hardened heart. And bless her. And all these things. That week, she's doing CrossFit. And a 45 kilogram weight falls on her neck, and she didn't get hurt. We're praying, she shared this testimony after we've been praying, because what God was saying to us is, many times we come into the Spirit, and God speaks to us, but we're not responding to what He's saying to us. In other words, and there's almost like a, I believe a bit, little bit of a deception. We're just saying, just come into the Spirit. Just come into my presence. And that's when God changes you. But I believe what God is actually saying to me is, when we come into His presence, and He speaks to us in a still small voice, that we must learn to be obedient to what He's saying, to respond to that what He's saying. For example, let's say God is saying to me, I must go and give Jock a hug. Now, in my heart, I must give Jock a hug. And now, but Jock is upset with me. I'm not going to. What is he going to think? I'm just going, oh, just go and give Jock a hug. So I give Jock a hug. Because I don't know what God wants to do. Maybe God wants to reconcile someone. You know, we don't know why. But we must just learn to respond. That's fine, Jock. We must respond to what God wants to do. He wants us to respond to the still, small voice. There's a place of obedience that God is wanting us to be. And when we were praying, I just heard God saying this to me. I said it to her, and I said to her, you were set up. Your protection was in your obedience. Now she's crying, and I know this is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then I also felt God saying to me, we come into His presence, but we do not respond to His altar calls. We come into His presence, He speaks to us, but then we resist Him. And therefore, we're not getting breakthrough in many things because we cannot respond when He's calling us forward. It's pride. It's pride in our hearts. And the evangelist Mercy said as well, God cannot deal with pride. God cannot deal with pride. There's a place where we must humble ourselves and just say, I don't care what people are saying, but Jesus, I am responding to You. And what I'm just feeling in my spirit is God is saying, my sheep hears my voice. And they follow me. They come, they hear the voice, but they follow Him. And He walks, and we follow Him. It's not we just come into His presence, but He walks. If we come into His presence and He goes walking, and we just stay there, we lose it again. So God is speaking the same to everybody. His Spirit is speaking the same to all of us. And I really believe this is where we must be humble enough to understand that I can be wrong. And we need brothers around us. Are you getting it too? Are you getting it? I'm getting it. What are you feeling? No, no. Maybe I'm wrong here. Lord, go and pray that we all, because God speaks to all of us the same. Now, I believe this is a season where God wants to break curses. He wants to take us out of the old life into a new life. He wants us to deal with the past. He wants to bring deliverance over His people. It's a season for that. I really believe it with all my heart. God wants us to break with the bad past that we have. He wants to take us into a new place. Now, you're probably saying, but, you know, how can I be cursed if God loves me? Because I'm a Christian. God, I cannot be cursed if I'm a Christian. But I want to take you to Deuteronomy 23. Now, it's a good time to take your Bibles, Cornelius, and turn to Deuteronomy 23. You must bring your Bible to church, brother. That's a sword. So Deuteronomy 23, if you don't have your Bible, you can watch on the screen. Verse 5 says, but the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loved you. There's this guy, Balaam, he's a prophet. I'm not sure of whether he was from God, but he was definitely a prophet. He could hear the Spirit. He could see amazing things. And there was this man, Balak. and they were afraid of the Israelites. So Balak asked Balaam to go and curse the Israelites. So he sends this man to go and curse them, and this guy stands there on the hill, and he wants to bring a curse, and he says, bless them. And he says, why did you do that? I asked you to curse them. Why did you bless them? It happened three times. The third time there was a donkey involved, and the donkey spoke to Balaam. I don't know if you heard the story. Maybe you've read it, where the donkey spoke to the man. This is this guy, Balaam. He tried to curse Israel, but he could not do it because the Lord your God loved you. But then what Balaam said to Balak, if you can get them to do stuff they shouldn't do, you will be able to curse them. If you can get them to be disobedient. Then the next verse in Revelation 2 verse 14, Jesus is speaking to the end time church, and he says to them, I have a few things against you. Revelation 2 verse 14, you have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. And this is what Balaam taught Balak to do. And the Israelites went, and they were sexually immoral with the people of Balak, the Moabites, and therefore they could curse them. So because of sin, curses came upon their lives. So Acts 15 verse 19 to 20, I'm just trying to give you an idea why curses come on people. But there was this time where the Jews got saved, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon them, and many Gentiles got saved as well. The Spirit of God was poured out upon them. They started speaking in tongues, prophesying, sick got healed, the dead got risen by Gentile people. But then there were people saying, no, you must get circumcised as well. You must get circumcised too, because you cannot follow God if you've not been circumcised. There are certain laws, there are certain things that you must do. So they had this huge meeting. All the apostles came together. Paul and especially Peter shared what happened in his life, and they came and they made a decision saying that we must not get the Gentiles who turn to God, we must not get them to do the law things, but they must abstain from things polluted by idols, foods, and from sexual immorality. They must not eat things that's been strangled, and they must not drink blood. I know of you drinking blood here. Stop doing that. Repent. God doesn't want you to drink blood. So Paul and Barnabas was saying these things. So now you're talking food. I just want to share something about food. Some time ago, I think it was last year or the beginning last year, we were invited to go to Parliament by the ACDP, and there was a man, his name was General Butt Naked. A funny name, scary guy. I've never been afraid in my life of a man, that guy. He is from Liberia, and he was the high priest at the age of 12 years old of Liberia. He made sure that General Taylor got into power of Liberia. And then there was another man that took over the presidency, and he became a warlock. I think he killed 28,000 people himself. He had a baby in his hand, and he was about to sacrifice the baby when the Lord Jesus Christ stood behind him and said to him, you must repent or you will die. He says he was standing in his room, and the man of God came up to him and he said to him, you must repent or you will die. And he was so thrown by this guy, and he said to his men, he actually shot his own bodyguard in the legs. This man's legs had to be amputated because of this incident. 4 weeks later, this man came again to him when the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he said to him, you must repent or you'll die. And he led that man to the Lord. That man is now evangelist for Jesus, and he goes to churches, he repents, he goes to all the people, families that he's killed, and he shares the gospel with them. He told us what they did in Liberia is if they wanted for me to choose their leader, they would give me food that was bewitched. They put witchcraft spells on it. When the people ate it, they would do what he wanted them to do. So this is why the people got warned, don't eat any food. Stay away from sexual immorality. Foundation's free. I don't know if you've done it, but I spoke to a guy once. He was married. He was not faithful to his wife. And he said to me, you know, Theo, I had sexual intercourse with this girl. She wasn't my wife. But I saw something in her eyes that looked like a lizard, and I got the fright of my life. He said, then one day I was with my own wife, and I saw the same eyes in her. And I knew I gave her something that I got from this other girl. This man was killed in his own home in front of his own children one day. He was a Christian. He was following God. He was seeking God. He had a registration number. What would Jesus do? But his boss caught up to him. A man walked into his house and shot him in his house. So there are things of the past that we do that God does not want us to do, because it brings bad things over us. Really bad things. And this is where I really believe the word is coming to us and saying to us, be careful. Hebrews 13 verse 9 says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. Not by foods. We must be strengthened by grace, not by foods. And you'll see today there are many people getting very excited about food. And this doctor's diet, and don't eat this and don't eat that. And I'm just saying, be careful what you eat. Pray when you eat. Don't run after these doctrines, but rather seek God. Seek God with all your heart. Seek what God has done, wants to do for us. Galatians 3 verse 1 to 3 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Who bewitched you? And I've seen brothers, friends, they come in church and they're excited about God and they're seeking more. They want more. And they start running after things, and they start running and they want to more. And then eventually they come to a place where they say, I'm going to get circumcised. I've got to do the festivals. I've got to say Yeshua, Yamashia, because Jesus doesn't understand it when I say he's Jesus anymore. There's more that I need to do. So what does the devil want us to do? He wants us to come and do stuff. He wants us to do dead works and not be led by the Spirit of God. So what will happen is you'll come to a place that I have to do this, I have to do this, and all these things getting too much for you, because all these things that I must do. But Jesus is saying it's all by grace. It's in faith. It's because we trust in him, we believe in him, because we get led by the Spirit of God, not because of the things that we have to do. So this sin can be two things, omission and commission. Commission is when I do sins, bad things. Omission is when I don't do the right things. Both are sin. You do the right thing, or you will, then that is not sin. But if I'm saying, I know I must give him a hug and I don't do that, I'm actually sinning. Does it make sense? But when I do bad things as well, that is also sinning. So both things can be bad for us. Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, even the Roman Catholic Church say things like, works, you need works to get saved. You need to be in a Roman Catholic to be saved. It's not true. You need Jesus Christ to be saved. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, not works. You don't have to get 144,000 saved if you want to go to heaven, like the Jehovah Witnesses say. And this is why they come to every door, because they want you to know, I must get as many people saved, maybe I can go to heaven. Jesus says, you can know, because if you believe in me, just surrender to me, you will go. You will go to heaven. So what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to get our focus away from faith, from believing in who God, in who God is. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 to 3 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. Some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences have seared, their hearts have been hardened. They forbid marriage and they require abstinence of food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So God is saying here, in the latter days, the last times, people will be deceived and they will run off the teaching of demons, and they will start telling you of things that you must and mustn't do. You mustn't eat this, or you mustn't do this, or you must do this thing, or you must. Then verse 4 says, everything is created by God, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and by prayer. Every product, turn around, halal. In other words, there's been things put on it to bring glory to Allah. So what we do, thank you Jesus, I bless it in the name of Jesus, thank you for the food that we eat. When you go to a restaurant, thank you Jesus, thank you God, we bless this food in Jesus' name, thank you Lord that you are good, that everything belongs to you, amen. And you eat. So don't get worried. If you want to drink a Coke, drink a Coke. I don't drink Coke, I just feel I don't want to drink it anymore. But if you feel want to drink it, if you want to eat fruit, great, praise God. If you don't want to eat it, that's also fine. I believe it's good that you eat your fruit, that you eat good things. Try and cut out MSG, but you won't go to hell if you eat MSG. You might die a little bit earlier, but you won't go to hell. So, but when you die, you go to heaven. So, hey, praise God, maybe you should eat some MSG. It's good for you, because you go to Jesus. Amen? So don't bring doctrines on food into your lives. Don't let people deceive you about food. Don't buy 10,000 rands worth of equipment because I don't want to go to hell. Because you only go to heaven because of Jesus, nothing else. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. God says in John 8 verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. That's all that we prayed before that time. I was so glad to see it. The truth will set you free, but abide in my word. And it means become doers of the word. Do the word of God. When God says, repent or forgive, that we do those things, that we learn to become doers of the word. If we are in that place, we are his disciples, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If there's sin in your life, I believe God wants to free us. There's this thing that Paul says, this thing in me that I don't want to do, I do. This thing that I'm trying to do, I cannot get right. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. If there's depression in your life, if there's down, I believe that's not from God. God wants to set us free. If we're taking strain, if we want to look at bad things all the time and you're like, oh, help me. That's not freedom. Freedom is, I can praise God. God is good. I don't have to listen to tormenting voices. I don't have to worry about all these things, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen? Because if the Lord set us free, we will be free indeed. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Now go to Deuteronomy 28 and you start seeing all the blessings that God wants to do to you. This blessings is about God wants to bless his people. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless this town. God wants to bless. And blessing means it's exaltation. It's acclaim. It's like, well done. How have you done this? It's like good health. Good health. It's victory. It's prosperity. And I said it last week, I'm not a prosperity teacher, but I believe God wants to give you money. Because he wants to bless you that you can bless other people. This is the heart of God. God's blessing, there's prosperity in it. There's reproductiveness. In other words, we are fruitful, we're productive. When we work, there's money coming in. There's people getting blessed. New people come in and they get more money and they grow. Our cell groups, people come in, they grow, they get released. More people come in, there's blessing. Where you work, more other people get blessed by it. Your family does well. You get many children. The blessing of God. God's favor. A definition, this is my own definition, like everything works out. It just works. You are lucky. No, it's Jesus. You know? Wow. Like my boy says, awesome. You cannot believe it, but things start falling in place for you. It's being blessed by God, the blessing of God. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. There's a place where God wants to bless us because we do his commandments. But then Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 says, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments, his statutes that I command you today, all these curses shall come upon you and it will overtake you. Then verse 20 says, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. And curses is like an invisible barrier. It's like quicksand or mud. You get stuck in it and you can't get out, and you try, but you fall deeper into it. It's like a spider's web, and you get stuck, and the more you struggle, the more you get caught into this spider's web. You're never successful. You don't inherit. You can just put it up there. You're humiliated, shame, dishonor. There's barrenness, unfruitfulness, struggle to have children, mental and physical sickness, family breakdown, poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, God's disfavor. This lady came to us and she said to us, you are carnal. She said, we are in the flesh. We are cold in our relationship with God. She said to us, curses is contagious. We must deal with these curses. 1 John 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have this intense struggle with the world. We love the world so much. We talk about love. Yes, it's about the love, but it's not the love. Is it the love of the world or the love of God? Because the love of God is surrender completely, walk away. But we want to still love the things of the world, and this brings curses on these people. An indicator that there could be a curse in your family, in your own life, is a mental or emotional breakdown, repeated or chronic sicknesses, barrenness or tendency to miscarriage, suicide or untimely deaths, breakdown in family, in marriage or family alienation, continuing financial insufficiency, being accident prone. Causes for these curses can be that God himself, our disobedience, betrayal or being disloyal, illicit or unnatural sex outside of marriage, sex with man with man, woman with woman, sex with animals brings curses on people. Anti-Semitism, it's the hate of Jews. Any racism brings curses. Trusting man, when we put our trust in man. If I only can get this friend, then everything will work out for me. When we lie, when we stingy towards God, we don't want to give into the house of the Lord. When we preach false gospels, issued by God's mouthpiece, David said to King David said to Joab, "You'll be cursed because you killed Abner, and everyone in your family will there will be a curse upon them. They will have leprosy each this generation because you killed the innocent man." Unclean objects in our homes, these masks that we get from Africa, Buddha statues, these things bring curses into our homes. We have it in and say, no, it won't work. But then you see things are going wrong and you don't understand why it's going wrong, but you brought it into your house. Self-imposed curses, I'll never amount to anything. In Jesus' name, cut those things. Unscriptural covenants, like Freemasonry, the Brüderbund, things that we go into. Servants of Satan, astral projecting churches, and it bring curses on God's people, and that must stop in the name of Jesus. That will not continue anymore because God is setting his people free. Relational authority, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, and the other way around. Can we inherit a curse? Yes, we can. Deuteronomy 28 says, verse 58 says, "If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting." The Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions. Numbers 14 verse 18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation." So some of us sit here with stuff that we've inherited. You don't understand. Why don't I get that job? Why don't I get promoted? Why is it always against me? Why am I single? Why? Deuteronomy 30 verse 1 to 3. "And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before you, you call them to mind amongst all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore the fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord has scattered you." Blessing, cursing, God is saying to us, return with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, return to me. God wants to bless us. Then he says, in verse 5 says, "And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it, and he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and that you may love." God is saying he wants to make us prosperous, but he wants us to come back. And he will circumcise our hearts that we can trust and believe from our hearts again into the Lord. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 says that God will give us a new heart. He will take us our spirit, and he will put his spirit within us, and he will remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, and he will put his spirit within us, and his spirit will cause us to walk in his statutes and to be careful to obey his rules. God's spirit will cause that, but he's wanting us to return to him, and he will bring his spirit upon us, and it will change our lives in Jesus' name. And now you probably think, yes, but how can I do this? All these things. And God is saying to us, Deuteronomy 30 verse 14, "But the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. So you can do it. Just do it. We can do it. You've been receiving the word of God. You know the word. The word is in you. We can do this. We can break these things. God wants to break this thing in Jesus' name." But you know, Proverbs says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we and James 2 says we speak blessings to God, but we curse one another. Brothers, it cannot be so. We cannot bless and curse with the same mouth. We must start blessing one another. We must start blessing God. We must bless His creation. We must bless one another. We must speak blessing over one another, because God wants to bless. He doesn't want to curse. Romans 10 says, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. With our heart, we believe. With our heart, one believes and is justified. With the mouth, one confesses and is saved. When we confess, it's in our heart. God has given it the deposit. We must bless. We must start to bless. Turn to God, because God wants to bless you. Deuteronomy 30 says, verse 15, I see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So God is saying, life and death, choose. And I just want to say that in the choosing, it's God's Spirit that enables us to do this. It's not help. He comes and He strengthens us that we can walk in the blessing of God. But He wants our obedience. In that obedience, God blesses us. It's obedience to the Word of God, and it's obedience to the Spirit of God. That we listen to the Word, that we listen to the Spirit of God. Because I believe God wants to become doers of the Word and not hearers only. That we can learn to respond when He speaks to us. Because in that place is where God can bless you. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 to 20 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. For He is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give to them. Heaven, life, death, blessing, curse. God wants you and me to choose life. And I'm saying, God, I'm choosing life. And I want to ask you to choose life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we're being held by stuff. And I'm saying, no more. We stand now and we say, Lord, we will not stand for the stuff anymore. We stand for Jesus, and we stand up for Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to chill. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but there's a few people that I've asked something, and I'm going to ask them to be bold. We're going to dance. I'm going to try and dance. Kurt is going to laugh at me, and I'll rebuke him later and eat him later on. But we're just going to dance a song to the Lord. You can come. If you don't want to, that's also fine. But if you want to, I want you to be here. And I just want to play a song to you. And then maybe another song. And I want you to respond in your own way. Respond to how God is speaking to you. And maybe we're going to do altar calls. Maybe we're not going to. But we're going to speak to God. If you want to stand, if you want to dance, you're welcome. But I'm just saying, God, we turn to you in the name of Jesus, and we say, we don't want to be part of this world anymore. Amen? We want to be part of the kingdom of God. God, we want to walk in the blessing of God in the name of Jesus. Amen? Can I just pray for us? Father, Lord, we choose life, Lord. We choose life in Jesus' name, God. And we say, God, we renounce all the work of darkness, Lord. We renounce every covenant, God, that has been made by darkness and us and our forefathers. And we ask you, God, to forgive us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But God, we put our faith and our trust in you, and we ask you, God, to come and set us free, Lord. We pray for your Spirit to come upon us, Lord, to come and bring deliverance, Lord, to bring healing, God, to bring breakthrough, Lord, in this place, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
practicing this song. And again, in my spirit, I just sense that if you are suffering cancer, if you've been given a death sentence by the doctor, whatever it is, we're going to sing this thing over you. We're going to sing these words straight from the Word of God. God is fighting for us. I hate cancer. I hate cancer in Jesus' name. And so we stand up, amen, and in the name of Jesus, not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus, sickness has to flee and has to bow down to the name of Jesus, to declare the finished work of Christ in his place. We declare that Jesus is paid the price. We declare that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We declare it in the mighty name of Jesus in this place. I declare anyone listening to this music tonight, I declare in Jesus' name, come on, sing it out, sing it out.
As we just go into the next song, just declare deliverance over ourselves. We declare that God reigns in this place. And I just want you to just stand now on the promises of God. And as you start singing the song, we declare the freedom of the Lord over God's people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God.
Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. You're not welcome here.
I just want to pray, Lord. And God, there are people here who must walk out of darkness to come into your marvelous light. And God, I just extend your hand to them. And in the name of Jesus, if you want to make a choice for the Lord Jesus Christ today, He's calling your name. He's saying, I love you, but I want you to respond, to come to me, to come out of darkness, to walk into his marvelous light, because he wants to do great and marvelous things in your life, in the name of Jesus. If you want to respond to God's love, to his call, you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to ask you to respond now, to come forward. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Don't not respond. Be obedient to his word. Be obedient. Say, God, I want to respond to you. Good God wants to bless you. He wants to do good things for you. The world, Satan, wants to destroy you. He hates you, but God loves you. So in Jesus' name, just come to the love. Come to the light. God is calling you. Just walk away. Break these things over your life. I'm going to pray one more song. If you want to respond, now is your time, in the name of Jesus. For the rest of you, may God bless you. If there's anyone who want to respond, if you want to pray, just come forward. We want to pray with you. Don't be proud, but respond to the love of Christ. Just respond. If you need prayer, just respond. Come forward now. And for the rest of you, may God bless you. See you at the conference, and may great things happen in your life. May you walk in the fullness of God, because God is good, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So, last call, respond now, in Jesus' name. Amen.